It is so good to be together this morning that we have the opportunity that we have set aside to come and to worship with one another, that we are able to come and offer up our praise and adoration to our God and Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we hope that is your desire as you have assembled this morning, that we might worship in spirit and in truth. We appreciate so much those that are visiting with us today. Most of you, I'm sure, saw this past week that Billy Graham passed away. He was 99 years of age, and again had been a great influence on many people. The problem that I have always found with his teaching was that he did not instruct people that baptism was necessary for salvation, that you're able to be saved by faith alone. And if we open the Word of God and we understand very plainly even what the Lord points out in Mark chapter 16, that our salvation comes by believing and being baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, I know many, probably millions of people have followed his teaching. And they believe that they are saved only by their faith. And because he has left out the necessary step of baptism to become a child of God, he has not taught people what they need to know in order to be saved. I know he was a good man in so many ways. He was one who was a counselor to presidents. There are many things that can be achieved by mankind. But the most important is clearly helping people understand what the gospel says. And if we have not taught people what they need to understand in order to be saved, no matter what earthly achievements we have failed. And I think that's very important for us to understand in our Christian life, in how we are living and how we are instructing others also. This morning, we would like to look at a thought that is not there. We have, all right. There we go. I'd like to look at a thought very simply to make me lose control. You ever heard somebody say that? This made me lose control. A Christian, as Peter writes, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, as Ricky read to us, the Christian is to have these characteristics in their life. And Peter says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, these are things that must be done diligently, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. These are seven qualities, characteristics, things that every Christian should have in their life. And as he points out, we're doing this with diligence. And he goes on to say, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will make us so that we will be useful and bearing fruit. If we do not have these in our lives, then it means that we are unfruitful and really we are useless. One of these things is self-control. And it goes on, verse 9 says, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Do you remember what you did in obeying the gospel? You remember the forgiveness of sins that the Lord has offered to you by being washed through baptism, by contacting the blood of Jesus Christ. If you remember those things, he says, then you're not going to be blind or short-sighted, but these are going to be in your life. And being in your life, they're going to continue to increase. We have to give diligence to do this. But sometimes we may use this phrase that something made me lose control. Does it really make us lose control? There was a song in 1988 by Eric Carmen. I know that's going back for some of you before you were even born. But a song entitled Make Me Lose Control, and this was by Eric Carmen. Let me read a few words of this song. It says, I run a comb through my hair and step out in the street, and the city's the color of flame in the midsummer heat. Oh yeah, Jennifer's got her daddy's car. She's playing Uptown on the stereo. We go cruising so close, the way they did long ago. My darling, turn the radio up for that sweet sound. Hold me close, never let me go. Keep this feeling alive, make me lose control. Baby, baby, when I look in your eyes, I go crazy. Fever's high with the lights down low. So take me over the edge, make me lose control. This is what happens. People get encompassed in things to the point that they lose control of the abilities that they should have. This is something someone who is a Christian should not do, or if we do, that we continually need to be working on. What makes you lose control? I hope there's nothing. But I think there are some things that we want to look at this morning that people commonly say cause me to lose control. The music that we listen to, the videos and the movies that we watch. What we're doing by this is we're putting something into our mind that someone else has written, whether it is the music or the videos or the movies, whatever it might be. And we are listening to that. We're putting it into our hearts or into our minds. And those things are going to be there. You know, one of the commercials that's on TV, actually two of the commercials that are on TV right now are about toilet paper. And they have these little ceramic characters that are sitting in the bathroom. And the point is made, you know, there's some things you cannot unsee. And that's true. The things that you will put into your mind and allow to go into your thoughts, there are things that you will never forget. And some of those things, if you are a Christian, you really wish that you could and would. In Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 7, the wise man says, do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. What we put into our heart is what we think about. Those are the things that we meditate and dwell on. Throughout the Old Testament and in these words of wisdom of Solomon especially, several times, and David says, meditate on the things of the Lord. Why is that important? Because you'll put something in your mind. And what you put in your mind is what you meditate on. So we have to be careful what we are feeding ourselves. And as someone said a long time ago, garbage in, garbage out. That's exactly what occurs. You see our children at a very young age coming into school. If you're in public schools or have some type of association, these children, what is coming out of their mouth too many times is truly garbage. They're hearing this from the television and the movies and the videos, and it comes out. This is an influence on them that should never be. What does this music say to us? What are the videos? You know, we maybe watch those and we hear the rap music and the violence, the murders, police officers being murdered, rape, suicide, vulgarity. It hadn't been too long ago, I pulled up to a gas station. I was filling up my tank, and there was a young man that pulled up, and he had his stereo just blaring away. And at least every second or third word was a vulgarity. Yes, he has the right to free speech. I would have loved to have gone over there and turned that off and told him what I thought, but I didn't. This is what too many young people are hearing, and maybe not just young people. It's being produced by those who are older. This is what goes into young people's mind. Suicide. You know, the more you read about that and hear about that, there's far too many suicides among young people today. Why is that? Because in some ways it's glorified. This is what's happening in the music and in the videos. How do they come up with these thoughts to do these things? I never had it growing up, and I know I'm really old. And there's a few of you that old too. We didn't have that. Why not? A 30-second commercial on the Super Bowl sold for $5 million. Why would 30 seconds during the Super Bowl be so important? Because it is going to influence people's thoughts. If I can get my product out there before them for 30 seconds, it's going to influence them. What do you think a video does? Or music? Or even a movie? It definitely has a very great influence. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 21 and 22, Paul says there, "But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." The Christian needs to think about it. Not just turn the music on, turn the radio up, make me lose control. I still listen to 60s music. I enjoy those. I can tell you most of the words of them. But more recently, I've listened with a critical ear. You know, some of the things that I sang years ago, I would not sing now. I would not want to have part of those words. And probably every one of you are like that. And these come into my thoughts or into my mind, or the movies that I go to and watch. Well, this is a good movie. Let's go watch it. Well, what all is in it? That's something any Christian should very carefully examine to see whether it's good for us or whether it is not. And as I've already said, there are some things you're going to see that you cannot unsee. And we need to be very careful. And we'll say, well, these will make me lose control. No, we're going in with our eyes wide open. Something else that causes us to lose control if we are not careful, when we become angry. We become angry and we say, maybe something has happened. I've got a right to be angry. I need to vent to somebody. I feel better after I vent. How does the person feel that you vent to? When we become angry, yes, we can lose control. And we, as a Christian, should be very angry that we do not lose that control. In Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, Paul says, "Be angry and yet do not sin." The Lord was angry. The Lord was angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple. Did he sin? No, he didn't sin. And I believe Paul's point especially is, do not let the sun go down on your anger, nor give the devil an opportunity. The longer you hang on to that anger, whatever it is, the more it's going to grow. And as that anger grows, it's going to be harder to reconcile whatever it is, the problem or the person. When we become angry, we can lose control. And sometimes we say, I have the right to be angry. Do we? Do we have a right to be angry with anyone? You know, again, our Lord was the great and perfect example. One of the songs we sang this morning had the words in it, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." If you were to be nailed to a cross, would you be angry? If you had had the scourging, the shedding of blood, the breaking of the body, would you be angry? And the Lord says, "Father, forgive them." What right do we have to be angry? I know there's injustices. I know there's things that we feel like should never go on, and that's very true. But with the Lord as our example, what right do we have to be angry? And we need to be very careful with the words that we use toward anyone. The Lord said in Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37, "But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." I saw something quite a number of years ago in a workbook. And the man said, "What if all of your words spoken during the day were written down? At the end of the day, you had to go back and reread every one of those words." I think that would probably be enlightening and eye-opening to us. And to think about this, that we are going to be judged by the words that we speak. We will give an accounting for it. We can be justified or we can be condemned. My son Wes, third child, when he was small and growing up, he didn't talk to anybody outside of the family for pretty well his first 2.5 or 3 years. People really thought there was something wrong with him. And we would tell people, "No, he talks just fine. He talks to the family. He just won't talk to anybody else." Well, my dad, as he was growing older, he said, "Well, he just doesn't want to be held accountable for what he says." You know, that can be a pretty good thing. The less we say, the less we will be accountable for. If our words would come about in anger, then we truly are going to be judged by those things. Being angry should not cause us to lose control. The use of alcoholic drinks or addictive drugs, I believe, is very truly a reason why people do lose control. Why do people want to drink? Why do people use recreational drugs? I believe part of it is they want to lose their inhibitions. If they are shy, it takes the shyness away. I want to be able to be popular. And in doing so, I need to have this feeling that this drink or these drugs or whatever it might be will bring to me. And I think that's very much a reason. I grew up in a time really when there was, I guess, pretty well not any drugs. Everything was alcohol. And alcohol is a drug. But it was something that was used, and again, used a lot among those that I graduated school from. And there were many times that people offered me a drink. I've never had a drink of any alcoholic beverage in my life. I'm very thankful for that. I would never want to come to any condition of even a small drink causing me to lose my ability of self-control. And that's what takes place. We lose that ability of self-control. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Lord says, "Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk, so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory." There's been many a young person that's been influenced by someone else to begin drinking. And again, that there's not a place that they would stop. They begin to feel good and they continue. And in doing so, again, they have this influence. People influence their children. And in many ways we say, "Well, I'm not responsible for this. I lose control, yes, but it's not really me. I'm not responsible for the things that happen." And I think we do understand more and more that there is a responsibility, that the Lord even points out when you make your neighbors drink, to make them drunk. And again, even the person that would drink himself, and it says expose your nakedness. To use alcoholic beverages or addictive drugs is something that can cause us to lose control, something a Christian should never have part of. Another old song, this one goes all the way back to 1966 in the Rolling Stones. This is the first part of Mother's Little Helper. What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today, I hear every mother say. Mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of a mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way, gets her through her busy day. Things are different today, I hear every mother say. Cooking fresh food for a husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she burns her frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and to help her on her way, get her through her busy day. Doctor, please, some more of these. And the song goes on with the idea of the increasing of the drug. Sometimes we can, if we are not careful, rely on something like this and say, well, this is the way I get through my day. If it causes us to lose control in any way, shape, or form, again, it is something that the Christian should not have in their life. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21, I believe alcoholic use, addictive drugs, again, lead to very many of these sins, if probably not all of them. Now, the deeds or the works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we are involved in these deeds or these works, do we understand that this will cause us to be lost eternally? And even when we have something that is going to cause us to lose control and we become involved in these sins, we are still responsible. We may say, these make me lose control, but the Christian should never be out of control with a use of alcoholic drink or addictive drugs. Something else that can make individuals lose control and should not is the allure of dancing and immodest dress. Why would people dance? Why would people dance? Well, there's dancing in the Old Testament. There's dancing in the New Testament. We can see that. Is it something that is commended? No, it's never commended. We see times that it was done, sometimes even praising God as Mary. But you know, you can see over in Matthew chapter 14 that Herod was the king there, and he had put John the Baptist in prison. And Herodias, who Herod had married, hated John because John spoke against their marriage, that it was plainly adultery. And in doing so, Herodias sent her daughter Salome to dance for Herod, and Herod was so enticed by this young woman's dancing, he said, I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. And you know what she asked for, the head of John the Baptist. This is why she danced. She was an object of desire. She wanted to be seen. She wanted to be liked. And this is the same thing that is true today. You watch Dancing with the Stars? I've never watched that. I've looked at it enough to see the lack of wardrobe that is there is not something I would want to put into my mind. I don't understand, to me, even why a Christian would watch that. Maybe you find nothing wrong with it. Again, it is the idea that I am alluring. It is the idea that I am an object of desire. I want to be wanted. This, again, is why this usually is done. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28, the Lord plainly said, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. There is so much immodest dress. You can't go to Walmart without seeing individuals immodestly dressed. I didn't go to Walmart last week. There was a couple of really warm days. I imagine there would have been several showings of immodest dress. But to see this, I think, is different than to looking on the woman and lusting after her. And a man surely knows what that is. I believe any man that is here today understands what that is. Our self-control, and we talked about David and Bathsheba. Our self-control would be to turn away and to quit looking. This is what the Lord is talking about here. When I was in the eighth grade, we had a math teacher. She was a young lady that had just gotten out of college. And you know, she very definitely wanted to be the object of desire of every one of those eighth grade boys. And she would sit on her desk with her legs crossed up in front of everyone. And there was one day that we went to the gym and there was a dance. This was during the class period. And she got out there and danced and she tried to get every boy out there to dance with her. And again, this desire is what she wanted from each and every one. This is the reason there is dancing. I believe this is a reason for immodest clothing also, that people want to be seen. Had some very good friends in Florida, Tom and Martha. They had a son and a daughter. They were wonderful people. But their children grew up really as their friends. There was not the parent-child relationship that should have been there. There was not the correction, not the idea of things that needed to be controlled. Heather was on the dance team, very immodestly dressed. And again, they promoted this. Promoted everything that the son and daughter did. Tom and Martha both passed away. Their children are not members of the Lord's church. And this was something that I saw in their life, that especially was the dancing and the immodest clothing and the lack of self-control that they tried to get their children to understand. The lure of dancing and immodest dress, that yes, it will cause individuals to lose control. In 1 Timothy 2, and in verse 9 and verse 10, Paul says, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearl or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. For a Christian woman, again, she is going to be very careful how she dresses. Sometimes people will say, well, this was a special occasion. I can wear this dress or I can wear this attire. What makes that any different than any other time? Immodesty is immodesty. A Christian, as you said, a Christian woman, would understand what their dress is going to do to other men. And sometimes the attitude is, well, it's not my problem. It's the man's problem. It is the man's problem if he's going to lust at the woman. But it is the woman's problem if she's dressing in an alluring way to cause that man to sin. To me, it is very plain. A few years ago, there was a Christian woman who was teaching a women's class on modesty in the Church of Christ. She did an anonymous poll of men for what type of attire or manner of dress that caused them to lust. And there were three reasons that are given. First, when anything that shows any hint of cleavage. A second was anything tight, even if it is a turtleneck sweater or a pant or pants or a dress. And the third was the way a woman moves as to allure men. This is what she received. And I believe these men were being very honest. Yes, this can make someone lose control, especially a man. And I hope those who are Christian women understand this. One final thought this morning. What can cause me, make me to lose control, if I would allow it, would be sexual intimacy outside of marriage. Sometimes we talk about young people being involved in this. It's not only young people anymore, it's all ages. Of the sexual immorality of this entire nation. That nothing is thought about of the what's called affairs. We see so many of these things coming out in some of our public officials. Some of those who have great power. Some of those who are over companies. It would be very easy to get involved in such a way. But sexual intimacy outside of marriage, that this truly will cause and can cause someone to lose control. We want someone who loves us, someone who makes us feel wanted. We want someone that will help us find excitement in life. And when we quit working on that in marriage, then too many times there are those that go outside of marriage. This has happened to Christians. This has happened to Christians I know and Christians that I love. We allow ourselves to get out of control by desiring these things that we should have control over. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Do we understand that? We're sinning against our own body when we are immoral. We talked about David a little bit this morning. David did not correct his children. David had quite a number of children. He had quite a number of wives. And again, that was one of the problems. But David did not correct his children. And as far as immorality, maybe David felt like, well, I was immoral with Bathsheba. Look at all that happened. How can I correct my children? He still needed to correct his children. He was wrong, yes. But he did not correct his children. Tracy was a young lady that her parents I had studied with. And they had been obedient to the gospel and become part of the Lord's church. And eventually, Tracy did too. She began dating when she was about 13 or 14. Her parents really did not oversee her. This was actually her stepfather. And she became pregnant when she was 15. And she went with me one time from the west coast of Florida, from the east coast of Florida to the west coast of Florida, and talked to some young people about this. And she seemed sorrowful in many ways. Yet, after that child was born and her parents were raising that child, she had another child. Same way. Her parents really did not correct her. Her parents did not care for her in the way that they should. They provided everything that was needful. The parents were raising two babies. And the way she was making a living was a pole dancer. That's sad. That is extremely sad. I don't know. I've lost track of them for many years. I don't know what's occurred. I would wish and desire that she would come to herself and understand where she is at. I do not know. But I know what losing control, sexual intimacy, the consequences of it, and what take place. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 3, Paul says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Any immorality. The Christian really is to have no part of this. As I've already said, and we've already looked at from this song, that we are to be in control. And yet, as the last part of that song, Make Me Lose Control by Eric Carmen said, when I look in your eyes, I go crazy. Fever's high with the lights down low. So take me over the edge. Make me lose control. And when we lose control, the consequences can be very great. As Christians, we need to give great thought to these. The Christian is to demonstrate self-control in their life. We are looked at by those that are of this world. And if they know that we are a Christian, how are they going to judge other Christians if they see us that we are not in control? What choices would we make that could cause us to lose our self-control in the life we are living for the Lord? Some of the things we've talked about this morning, we need to be very cautious of. How would these choices affect our eternal salvation? I think our choices will affect our eternal salvation. This will, whether we have self-control, will really be brought into judgment of where we are going to spend eternity. This morning, you may not be a Christian. We have not really talked about that. The opportunity to be obedient to the gospel is always here. But as we have this opportunity, we will sing a song of invitation. And if you are not a Christian and have heard the gospel, and again, believe, repenting of your sins, making a confession, desiring to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity this morning. As a Christian, I know all of us sin. We stumble, we fall. Maybe there's something that's public that we need to make right. If you need to come, make a change in your life, please do so as we stand and sing.